There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
Right, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106 for the text line as well. And a reminder, too, get in touch. You can always use the TalkBack feature with the FM Talk 106.5 app. Several people have said, Sean, did you see this clip? I've seen the clip. Play the audio. The clip here is of Vice President, candidate for President Kamala Harris. The bus, the discussion of what goes on in this bus. Here, go ahead and play first clip here.
The bus has Wi-Fi, and even USB outlets next to every seat. I mean, come on, imagine. You can charge your phone on your way home from work. That's good stuff.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I've seen the clip here, and which bounced around, people like, look at this, Harris is drunk. I got something scarier for you. I don't think she is drunk. I don't think in that clip she is drunk. I think that's just the vice president. So, I mean, why don't we talk about, you know, the idea of leading your way with the plank of your platform, of doing something that has been proven to be a failure in so many nations and even here in the United States when the Republican Richard Nixon did it, of putting price controls in. So, no, I don't think she's drunk in that clip. Unfortunately, I think she's completely sober. That's like the old... what was that Washington Post put up a slug line? I think it was over the weekend. You know, when your opponents call you a communist, maybe you don't propose price controls out there. Maybe that. So I do not think she is drunk in the clip, but I think it may be even more frightening that she is not drunk in the clip. This price control thing, C.B. Carl says, I sell my fresh eggs for $3 a dozen. If Kamala Harris gets her way, I figure I can probably get $3 an egg on the new black market. That is what's happened in every scenario where you have price controls. Now, to say that the Black Rocks of the world buying up so much property, being able to fix rents, and remember we had that story, gosh, 3 or 4 months ago about that company they raided that was working, was like almost a liaison between companies to fix prices for rents. And now that, break that stuff up. I'm for that. I'm for a free market. I never heard the rest of that story. I need to dig that back up. There was a company that was working with some of the real big people that owned rental properties, apartments, homes across the country, and they were working between them. They signed on as some kind of contractor with them, consultant, and they were really working with the other companies to price fix. Now, federal government bust them up. I'm all for that. To go in and say, here's what the maximum rent should be, then what happens? Or on food, this is going to be, and this is how populism works. I'm sick of paying what I'm paying at the grocery store as well. Absolutely. Sick of paying, everything is more, I mean, here I hit at this point in my life, everything's up, and I have a child in college now. Another one, you know, a teenager, I mean, it's brutal, I'm with you. But don't let a politician, no matter what party they would be with, tell you, we're going to fix this for you, I'm going to tell you, we're going to cap the price. It has failed every time. It's failed every time. Let's see here. And Ricky with some stuff here. That's not how you spell trillions. I just thought it. Let's see. Gene says, Jerry, meaning Jerry Carl, can only harm Carolyn. Wonder if the 150 aliens in Mobile County will vote for her. And I think it was like between the two districts, there's 349. And they're the question, Gene, this is what happened when Democrats pushed back against the SAVE Act in the House. And of course, I'm realistic. I realized it wouldn't make it to the Senate, nor would it have been passed through Biden. I'd like to see them do this when you have, you know, somebody who would pass, you have a Senate in control of Republicans and a Republican president and move this through. Gene, so your argument is the same one that was made in Washington. That why should we go through these voter rolls to just make sure that only citizens are voting? There's just not enough of that to make it worth your while. Well, what's the old one? You know, you take flak when you're over the target. Gene, if it was one, okay, and you, the pragmatic argument I think Bradley Byrne had made on the show with me last week, pragmatic argument is it can sway an election. I think there's a failure in the pragmatic argument because then you have to, you know, get down and wrestle around with you, Gene, in the discussion of, well, would these 150 people that are voting illegally make a difference? I don't care if it's one damn vote. The system is this. You have to be a citizen to vote. And Gene, as I said, these aren't illegal aliens that came out in Wes Allen's report, Secretary of State. These are people here legally. And I welcome y'all. Legal people working in the United States, cool. You play by the rules, cool. I'm not a xenophobic bone in my body, Gene. I think it's a great thing. Just follow the rules. I would like to see if I was in a position in Washington, I would tighten down, Trump style, on the border for illegal immigration. At the same time, I would look at opening more legal immigration to the United States. So we're not going to have you break the law, but if you want to do this legally, here's a process, and we're going to try to expedite it to get you in, make sure you're not coming in. And so many people coming in, too, are from not just Central and South America. They're coming in from China and Russia and many other places. Let's make sure. And they're coming in not legally, which they could do, but they don't want to wait for it. So they just fly into Mexico and come in that way. Gene, explain how if it was just one person who was not a citizen who was voting in a federal election, that's okay. That's the thing, this pragmatic argument that's made on both sides, I think it's a failure. I think we need to look at the baseline here of the Constitution, what it means to be an American citizen, what rights come with being an American citizen. And so if it was one, Gene, that's too many. I'm not looking at this as whether the 349, I think, that are in Mobile and Baldwin counties, which would be split, obviously, to some degree between AL2 and AL1, would move the election. You hadn't heard me say that at all, Gene, other than to push back against it. But a system where people who are not citizens are given, they're getting themselves on the roll to be able to vote, whether they do or not, in a federal election is wrong. So Gene explained why we should have it that way. Supermom says, have you heard Kamala gush over the yellow school buses? It's worse than the previous clip. She definitely has a bus fixation. Yes, I have heard that. But it's just like those clips are being sent out and people were like, well, don't you think she's drunk here? I don't think she's drunk. That's even scarier. Phillip's asking a question somebody asked last hour. Said, I was wondering with all this demonstration at the Democrat convention, will they try to blame conservatives? I don't know. Some people will. I mean, if you go on social media spaces, people say everything. You can see this. And you know what's bad and bad from the media is when, like, who knows if they're even real people? They might be bots, but there are some number of people. I don't know. It's 5, 10, 15, 25 on Twitter that say something ridiculous, right? And then you'll take that and write a news story and say, what's trending right now, people on Twitter are saying that Republicans that are, you know, doing the protest at the convention. Well, like 15 bots on Twitter said that. That doesn't mean that there's an upswell of people. But then you're going to have a response from the other side. When it always it's all mountains made out of molehills there. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. I don't know if they start blaming them. I don't know. At the same time, so much of this is about, is Kamala Harris drunk? Is Trump this? Is that it's what we get away from is talking about things like idea of price caps, idea of where our monetary policy goes, ideas on continuing support for wars around the world, which, by the way, it seems that right now, at least what we're getting through the media, right? And I'm part of the media, so getting through us, is that Ukraine's holding on there in Kursk. Kursk region. Said last week that the benefit of that would be if they could hold on to it long enough to go to the negotiations, get to the table, and trade that for some sort of peace. But remember, our country, other EU and EU members and NATO members early on told Ukraine not to come to the table. Well, we let it happen the next time. If Ukraine's successful, I heard somebody say over the weekend, if Ukraine's successful, then they'll say, well, obviously we need to give them more money and additional military equipment. If it's a stalemate, they'll say, look, right now it's a stalemate. If we give them additional money, it'll help push them over the line. If Ukraine's losing, they'll say, wow, there's no reason now that we shouldn't give them more money because they're losing. So we're going to make sure they'll win. I mean, there's no end to that. All right, coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. 343-0106 gets you in touch with the show. 343-0106 for a text or a good old-fashioned phone call. Y'all say hello to my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And let's talk trucks, man. How's that inventory looking on trucks?
It's good. You know, we bought a bunch of trucks last week, and they're all here now. So we've got, we've got Ford Chevrolet Rams, all diesels. We got two-wheel drives, four-wheel drives. We got a small Nissan Frontier SV crew cab. So we've got trucks from $10,000 and up. And to find anything nowadays for 10 grand just doesn't happen hardly.
Yeah. I tell you, even people wanted it as a second vehicle, you know, with hunting season coming up and all that. You're talking a price point that gets people's attention. That's half of what some of these UTVs out there are, you know, and this thing has, you know, doors on it and a windshield.
Absolutely. We've also got a regular cab, which these are getting harder and harder to find. We've got a regular cab, F-150, with a short box on it. So it's got the short bed, regular cab. That's, you know, people like to jazz some little gizmos up, and it's a good looking little truck.
All right, well, tell us how to come look at the trucks and all the other vehicles at LCM.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, bud.
You too. Dave McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, to the text line here. And we got my buddy Mike Bunn from Historic Blakely State Park joining us here about 10, 15 minutes away. A lot of cool stuff coming up in the Fort Mims reenactment. That comes up this month as well. He'll talk about that. Let's see here. Texter says, do you think Putin will use tactical nukes on Ukrainian incursion? So Dalton and I just talked about that in the hallway. I don't. I think that's the protection that the Ukrainians have there. And so I don't think they will. I really see this as a bargaining, you know, a bargaining chip for Ukraine if they can hold on to it. We'll see. The Russians, and last thing I read, now I get an update overnight from this group out there that Dalton and I both subscribe to it, ISW. It looks like that the Russians have not pulled, you know, the idea was, okay, you gain some purchase in Russia, and they're saying that they're taking out the area where the missiles are being launched from in Kursk. But at the same time, you're trying to get the Russian army to pull soldiers from the, you know, where they're succeeding in the southeast of Ukraine, to pull them over there to Kursk to alleviate the problem down there. I don't think that has happened. They said they're bringing new troops in from elsewhere in Russia, but not pulling those others off the line. Let's see. James, a sad troll, said, Sean, I absolutely agree with your assessment of the Ukraine conflict. I was wondering when we will put those same standards towards Israel, too. You know my stance, let's take care of Americans for a change. You heard me last week, James, that we, you know, flooding more and more U.S. might, military might into the region. And you could say, well, Sean, that's just a deterrent. It also puts us in a situation where we can be engaged. I think we're well past 50%. You know, I don't think it's 100%, but I think we're well past 50% of having the United States get involved in some broader regional war. Right. Let's see. I do want to get to this. A lot of text, but I want to come back to, and my man Maximus texted about it, about the celebration of life for the Civic Center. I'm sorry. I spent many time at many Mardi Gras balls and all, and hockey, and would it take the kids to whatever on ice at the Civic Center. But this idea that we're going to have like a funeral for it, Maximus says, stupidest thing I've ever heard of for the service at the Civic Center. Typical for the city, though. Do you think they're going to drop the idiot's moon pie also? Do you think there'll be a moon pie drop as they start taking parts of the Civic Center out? This is so the note from the city here. Let me see if I just get, instead of even giving you, I'll give you straight up what I got from the city. So this is reminding everybody, here it is. So this comes to the city of Mobile. City to host a celebration of life for the Mobile Civic Center on August 21st, right? So 2 days from now. It's going to be, that's Wednesday. Celebration of life service starts at 10 a.m. It's a building, y'all. Said City of Mobile is hosting a celebration of life on August 21st to recognize the start of the Mobile Civic Center's demolition and celebrate the facility's 60-year legacy. Okay, and that's it on, as you said, on the 30th of July, Mobile City Council approved the demolition. Okay. So you're going to have this event, a celebration of life for a building. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe there's going to be plenty of people say, that's absolutely right, Sean. We need to have a funeral, an open casket funeral for the Civic Center. We need that to take place on Wednesday. I just don't see why we need to do that. I mean, it's the building. The building's coming down, got new things happening. It's a building. It is not a human being. I see them as different things. All right. And this, do we have time? Yeah, I could rush to this. This texture said, what do you think about Trump trashing the Medal of Honor and veterans? So the clip here, so this happened last week. Can we run the clip? We have time. Okay, we'll run this quickly here. Let's. This is what happened. So this is Trump speaking at an event in Bedminster, New Jersey. Had this to say. He had his guest there, Miriam Adelson, and he's, hyping her up.
But I have to say, Miriam, I watched Sheldon sitting so proud in the White House when we gave Miriam the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That's the highest award you can get as a civilian. It's the equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor, but civilian version. It's actually much better because everyone gets the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's soldiers. They're either in very bad shape because they've been hit so many times by bullets, or they're dead. She gets it, and she's a healthy, beautiful woman. It's right. And they're rated equal. But she got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and she got it for, and that's through committees and everything else. She's done an incredible job on addiction as a doctor and so many other things. And I watched her husband sitting.
Okay, so, and there's the basics of the clip. If I am writing comments for Donald Trump to say at any event, I don't write those for him. Is that Trump's, does, you listen to it. I mean, do I think that's the best way he could have said that? No, absolutely not. So, Texter, I agree with you there. But it was in the guy's head half the time. But I think he was trying to be, I guess, light about it maybe and saying, okay, here are these two awards. But, you know, if you get the Medal of Honor, you've seen our heroes that have received the Medal of Honor, what they've gone through. Those that have got it while they're alive, obviously the posthumous ones as well, it's very serious. So he was saying, okay, well, I can give this award to somebody. They don't have to have to have been shot or... I don't know. I mean, do I think he was doing a great service to explain that? No, I don't. Do I think that meant he hated the... or looked down on the people that received the Medal of Honor? I don't, but it... But would I have chosen different words from? Sure. Sure, I would have. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday edition of the show. Yeah, and good example here, and I'm just looking through the text line. Lots of texts back and forth after playing that clip of, I guess it was last week, and Trump's comment on the Medal of Honor versus the citizen, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. To the people that are detractors on there, I would not have written it or said it the same way. Absolutely not. I agree with you on that. Do I think that it meant that he didn't respect the people that won the Medal of Honor? I don't. I don't. And maybe that's worth, you know, a follow-up question from somebody. So is he being trying to be light or flippant? I don't know. I guess that's my guess there. But no, it's not the best words at all that he could have said. But I don't think that that meant that he thinks the Medal of Honor is not the most important. I think he's trying to say, well, you don't have to get shot for this one. I mean, it's a subject you shouldn't be flipping about, right? Agreed. But yeah, I see people on the text line like, he doesn't look down on them. I didn't get that vibe at all. And other people say, oh, he did. Well, that's why we're in this world. We get to agree and disagree, right? And then somebody here saying, buddy, tear it down already. Let the demo ball fly. You know what? Let's do this. I'm going to bring on our next guest. And this man is a historian, author, director at Historic Blakely State Park. It's our buddy Mike Bunn. Mike Bunn, if you looked at the city is Wednesday going to have a celebration of life for the Mobile Civic Center. I guess it's going to be open casket. I guess that's the way it's going to be. Would this merit you writing a historical book about this in the future? The Civic Center.
Sean, good to talk to you. I got to say, I'd probably give a pass on reconstructing the events of this open casket viewing. I'm sad to say.
I mean, the city can do what it wants. It's fine. It just, I don't know. Like, am I going to show up in a gray suit down there? I mean, it's a building. It's a building. I could. Yeah, you know, not a human. All right, so much. So I just get a historian's perspective. So y'all have heard Mike on the show over the years with me, author of how many books now? I mean, it's a ton. I know I've got five or six at my house now.
Yeah, I've got, as of this fall, we'll have it up to an even dozen. So you can be in the Book of the Month Club if you want.
Man, I like it a whole bunch. You have a new book coming out about Fort Stoddard.
Yeah, that one actually came out just a few months ago, and I'll be talking about it tonight at the Mobile Civil War Area Roundtable.
What? Tell us about. Give us the hook here on the Fort Stoddard book. What you going to tell us here about that significant fort in our history?
Well, Fort Stoddard is just a crucial landmark in just about everything that was happening in early Southwest Alabama. Territory period, early statehood period, and it is the place to which the few survivors of the Battle of Fort Mims fled, and we're doing some special cruises up that way at Fort Mims at the reenactment of that battle this weekend.
Yeah, you read those accounts that they were fleeing to Stoddard back then after Fort Mims, and speaking of Mims, this is the month.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, they're doing the big reenactment. Do it every year. It's this weekend. It'll be Saturday and Sunday. And we're just excited to partner with folks that run that really important historical landmark up there to help people understand the context of what happened there and the context of what's going on all in the region by getting out on the Alabama River, discovering some historic sites and stories during that reenactment aboard our cruise boat.
I need to, y'all will know that listen a lot here. I'm going to lean on Mike like I lean on John Sledge and ask him this question that they don't have an answer for. Why has nobody made a movie, a Creek Indian War? I mean, this, like in today's world, you start off with the canoe fight. What a scene, right? And go for, I mean, in the, you know, the Marvel Part 16 of whatever superhero it is, they make that movie. If you made, I mean, Creek Indian War movie would be incredible.
It's a real story with some of the most fascinating characters you'll ever read about. It was a dramatic Native American victory, and it ultimately led to the beginning of what we know as the Trail of Tears. So it's got a lot of rich history, incredible, poignant story, incredible people. So the short answer is I don't know. I want to have a seat on that, but it makes a good topic.
I sit down and start the first paragraph or two of my treatment for it. Then I have to go mow the lawn or something. But eventually, maybe I'll, under your tutelage, work on the screenplay there.
There we go.
You know, the things y'all do with Historic State Park at Blakely, you've got the reenactment, of course, of the battle, but you have taken, yes, the broader footprint, right, with your cruises out there, whether you're going to the Indian Mounds or you're talking about going to Fort Stoddard or even the Clotilda part of this as well. You take folks on the boat there.
Yeah, our boat has enabled us to basically interpret and help people understand and appreciate and explore the entire Mobile Tensaw Delta and all the way out into the bay, and we're very proud of that. We cruise 12 months out of the year. We've got over three dozen different cruises that are standard cruises. We run from four permanent docks, and we're always adding more, and we can charter things. So we're really proud that that boat has enabled us to tell our story and to tell other regional stories in a unique way.
I mean, our story is one, I mean, if we look at history, I don't know many stories you can tell and books you've written that don't have something to do with the water, right? The reason, yeah, I mean, what exactly. E.O. Wilson said, why we're here, the title of the book, I mean, that's why we're here, the rivers, the bay.
Yeah, no doubt. No, it is all interconnected. It's a shared heritage in a unique region that has a lot of similarities throughout it, and it's all interconnected, and that's what we're bringing to people when we're taking them out on those waterways.
When you get people on that, on the boat, how many of them have never seen the Delta before? I mean, I'm not looking for a number, but I mean, are there people each time that go, I didn't know this was out here kind of thing? Or?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, there's a whole lot of people, and I'm constantly surprised how many that have passed by all these waterways on bridges and everything, and even worked in downtown Mobile for years and years, but never seen it from the water side or never been in some of the rivers that drain this area into Mobile Bay. So it's always a treat for them to get to see it. And that's sort of the fun in it. It's discovery. It's educating people about where they're from, and it's a really unique environment, a really unique heritage, and you get to appreciate it in a different perspective when you're on the water.
People asking too here about the, so y'all in partnering and involved with the Fort Mims reenactment. So that's a two-parter, right? I mean, it's 2 days of this going on.
Yeah, it's Saturday and Sunday, and they do a whole program. They interpret the battle itself and a battle that occurred just prior to it, and they've got vendors up there and other educational programs going on. And what we've done is to schedule some boat cruises that would allow people who want to see the highlight events at the reenactment to board our boat about a mile away from Fort Mims itself on Holly Creek Landing and be able to take some cruises and kind of take in everything in a day.
Okay, how long, like from the, if somebody's planning that, and I know they can go, you're going to tell me where they can go get signed up, but like what's that day, and what time do I get there, what time do I head back, like, you know, if I'm planning on my day?
Well, we've got three different cruises we're running, and we're running them at multiple times during the day. So the easiest thing I could say is go to our website, blakeleypark.com, go to the events page, and you will look for those three cruises that we have at different times on Saturday and Sunday. They're associated with Fort Mims, but that's where our boat's going to be all weekend. So all the upcoming cruises this weekend will be at Fort Mims. Just look at blakeleypark.com, and you can pick the time that works best for you.
Okay. So, yeah, not the normal location at Spanish Fort. You can be right.
Yeah, we're literally be running up on the Alabama River.
Yeah.
Fort Mims, you know, of course, up in Tensaw, mm-hmm. Alabama. And so we're going to take our boat up there, and it will be running out of a landing that is very, very close to Fort Mims, very easy to find. It's less than a mile away. It's called Holly Creek Landing.
Know it well. I want to also talk about, I guess it was last week, I heard a story. We had the big Go Mesa money rollout that was discussed here. Everybody who's politically aligned showed up for, you know, to dole out money because everybody likes that. It's good for politics. But I heard something in the listing of all those things. I said, well, that's really cool that y'all are, tell me what you're doing. I mean, is it going to be houseboats or what are y'all doing with this?
We're going to do a major waterfront access project where we're going to improve what we have, add more to it, and one of the most compelling portions of the whole thing is that one of those adding to it components will be the addition of some floating cabins, some basically some houseboats, park, be able to bring your boat up if you want to go out, and you'll have much more nice modern facilities. We've got some good stuff now. It's only going to get better, and that's going to be a highlight attraction of the park, we believe.
Yeah, I last time we talked, I think the cabins on land have been pretty popular.
Yeah, they're going well, very popular amenities here.
So this would be something with the houseboats that I could rent and, like you said, come up in the boat, stay the weekend or something like that? Or
Yeah, exactly. We look at it as basically, in our terms, we're just building four more cabins that need to be cleaned and staffed, but they just happen to be floating, and some of the best views you're going to get of the Tensaw River and the Mobile Tensaw Delta will be on those things.
Excited about that. Do you have a, I know you're probably like, what's the timeline on those?
Well, I'm hoping that we can complete the entire project within 2 years or less. There's a whole lot of things that you have to go through to build something like that. So not in control of all those deadlines, but we think that we can get them up and running by 2026, we hope.
All right. That is exciting. There's been so much growth. I'm thinking about you live it every day. Is it 5 years or 10 years? It's just been like there's always new news coming out of Blakely.
Well, that's our goal here, is every day that we're here, we're trying to work to improve, and it's no just, just a canned statement. We're trying our best to have big goals and make big things happen and work every day to improve the park, because we think that there would never be a day where we've completed everything we could do to make it better. So some of those things are small, some are big, and right now we're getting into some really big ones, and it's really exciting.
All right, and tell folks, too, once again, to get booked for this weekend, to come up and get on the boat at Fort Mims, where do they go?
BlakeleyPark.com, and go to the events page.
Okay, and then we couldn't finish this up with now the Book of the Month Club here. So
exactly.
I've gotten your books through you, I've gotten them through local booksellers, but, I mean, if somebody says, hey, man, where do I get your books?
Well, one of the best places to go that has them all listed is Amazon.com, and I'll be talking with you later on the fall. I've got two coming out on this area, Mobile and the Tensaw River, that will be in some local bookstores for sure, and we could talk about those when they get out. But some of the area local bookstores have mine, but Amazon.com will have all of the things I've published listed.
Good stuff. And then the next edition, I'm just looking at y'all, is going to be the book about the Civic Center funeral that happens on Wednesday,
Yeah, look for that. There'll be a 300-page tome, commemorating that historic event.
Mike, as always, man, I appreciate our conversations. Hope to see you this weekend.
All right, thank you.
All right, there goes Mike Bond. That's cool. And if you've not ever been to the Fort Mims reenactment, you know what? I need to take the boy. Maybe I'm going to go this weekend. Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Coming back, it's time for a checkup right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile, and time for a checkup. And good to see Dr. Reese Jones from Southern Cancer Center in studio to talk about a question that I had for somebody who was in here, I don't know, a year ago, your compatriot here, Dr. McAvoy. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Dr. Jones, this question was one that came up, and there's so many things that y'all do at Southern Cancer Center that are like, just have me ask the next question, cutting edge technology. But one that maybe goes back to the root is, ask this question: if you took cancer cells out of, I don't know how we got on this, but I said, if you took the cancer cells out of my body and put them in somebody else's body or vice versa, they wouldn't survive.
It's correct.
Why? I mean, there is cancers.
Well, the body has a natural immune system. And so when the immune system is intact, if you put a foreign cell into that body, it's going to kill it. It's going to get rid of it. And whether that's a cancer cell or the cell of another person, any normal cell. So hence, like when we do organ transplants or bone marrow transplants.
Always looking for a match.
Correct.
Right?
You have to have a match, but then you also have to really suppress the host, meaning the person receiving the cell. You have to suppress their immune system. Otherwise, the immune system will kill off whatever is put into that person's body.
Okay, but how is it that cancer that forms, let's say, in my body and I put it in yours or vice versa and it kicks it out, how does it exist without my body seeing that cancer and the immune system attacking it?
Well, so the cancer forms within your body's, normal cells, what was originally a normal cell that has now become an abnormal cell. So
the immune system sees it as one of its own,
right.
It's shielded.
And then the cancer also has a way of basically in a complicated form, but simplistic explanation is the cancer has a way of applying a brake mechanism to the body's natural immune system.
Okay.
So it'll suppress the immune system and keep the immune system from attacking it. You know, cancer's smart. It's always trying to figure out a way to live. It just wants to live and grow. So that's where, you know, we get into, you know, probably the biggest advancement in my career over the past 20 years has been immune therapy. And so immune therapy, you know, I mentioned that brake mechanism that cancer applies. The immune therapy in a complicated way releases that brake mechanism. So then it allows the body's natural immune system to see the cancer cell as foreign and to attack it and kill it off.
So this is the immune
therapy that we're giving now, like IV immune therapy. There's different drugs out, but, you know, let's just take melanoma, which is kind of where immune therapy really originally got started.
Okay.
Because melanoma, when I first started practice, if you got metastatic melanoma, no one lived over 6 to 9 months.
Yeah.
There was really bad
chemo. Lost friends for that, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't work well. It made you sick. But then we're seeing patients with stage 4 melanoma who are, you know, are they cured? I don't know, but they're 10 years out.
Wow. From 6 to 9 months to 10 years.
Right. And so is that the norm? Not always, but it's not uncommon for a melanoma patient, metastatic melanoma patient, to live for several years because you're letting the body's immune system attack the cancer cell. And for the most part, you know, the body has natural homeostasis, so it's not going to overdo that immune response. Now, sometimes you do get, I guess, a little bit too much of a good thing, and you can get some autoimmune type issues, which can affect the skin, the GI tract. You know, we do see, it's not uncommon to see some endocrine problems. The immune system will attack the thyroid gland, the adrenal gland, and so you have to
wonder why it sees it and thinks it's...
It's just any kind of autoimmune, like thyroid problems a lot of times are autoimmune. So just kind of the things that would more commonly be autoimmune anyway.
Okay. That suite of things that were.
Right.
Okay.
So like rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah.
Let's just take that for example. That's a pretty common disease. You know, I've got a guy right now, he's a rheumatoid arthritis patient. He's got metastatic cancer and I have him on immune therapy. So we try to find that balance because it ramps up his rheumatoid arthritis.
Right.
But it's keeping his cancer at
bay. Yeah, I mean, given an option.
So we just have to walk the line. You know, you have to, because rheumatoid arthritis, the treatment is immune suppressants, various immune suppressants, but you're trying to suppress the immune system. But if you do that too much, then you,
and the cancer
you
has
ruin the effect of the immune therapy.
And this immune therapy, this is what, and you do a good job putting it in language I can understand, but the breaks that the cancer was putting on the immune system, it'll limit. So the immune system goes, oh, there's the cancer.
Right.
It can then just like see it, for lack of a better
term.
It's
like you're taking the blindfold off.
And then the body goes to work the way it would.
Okay, that doesn't belong here. Let me get rid of it.
It's like.
No, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's letting the body do, you know, I don't want to say holistic because sometimes, but it is that kind of idea, right? The body is.
To be able to. Take a cancer that should kill you within a year and you live years and years with a treatment that doesn't, as a general rule, doesn't cause much in the way of side effects. I mean, that's the perfect combination.
Because the treatment is opening this gateway for the immune system to see the cancer and do the job for us that it's supposed to do.
And that's, you know, something like melanoma, a lot of times it's just immune therapy by itself. There's certain diseases, let's say lung cancer, a lot of times you have to combine it with chemotherapy.
Okay.
Just to get the additive effect. So there certainly are times where you have to add chemotherapy into it. But, you know, you can give chemo and immune therapy for a while and then taper the chemo off and put them on maintenance immune therapy. I mean, there's different ways to do it for different diseases. But, I mean, it's by far and away the biggest advancement in the last several decades.
And this is where cancer treatment, this has to be where we're going. I know y'all lead at Southern Cancer Center.
It's where we have been, where we are. And then it's certainly the future. Immune therapy is one thing. Now we're doing, it gets a little bit more complicated, but there's therapy called CAR T therapy. And so what CAR T is you... It's a way of manipulating the immune system to recognize that individual cancer. And so you're removing cells from the body. You're basically adding something to them to hype them up against the cancer and then putting them back in the body. It's a complicated
thing. Wait a second. Okay, Dr. Jones. So you're taking about, they're making them super cells and putting them back in?
Right.
This is cool.
So in, we're doing that a lot now for, it's more hematologic malignancies, okay. myeloma, lymphomas, you know, some leukemias, but it's being looked at in solid tumors as well. And so it's in the same process as the immune therapy, but you're, like you said, you're turning the immune system into a super weapon, so to speak.
Right.
And so
they take those cells out, they go to boot camp or whatever and get.
Yeah, you pull them out, you genetically engineer them, so to speak.
Right.
Put them back in the body and off they go.
Wow. Okay. The advances are amazing. People want to talk with y'all at Southern Cancer Center. How do they reach out and find out more?
We have a website. I mean, you know, we have locations in Baldwin County and Mobile County, several physicians. We do medical oncology, radiation oncology. We do it all. So just look us up and call us if you need us.
Good stuff. Dr. Reese Jones, thanks for your time.
Thank you.